Years gone.
Thank you. It's such a joy to be back. And what worship. How beautiful it is to be in the presence of the Lord and to sing holy, holy, holy. And it's so overwhelming and it fills our souls. And we might think, is it fake? Is it just us getting together and building up emotion on Sunday morning? And I'm here to tell you, it is not. Because all around the throne of heaven, around the throne of God, the angels and the elders cry nonstop, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. And we are complete in him, and we join in their worship. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We are not alone. And we follow the one who leads to victory and the one who helps us walk in light. So today we are here. We are gathered in the name of the Holy One. And we are here because he calls us. Now think back to your morning. How many mundane things did you do this morning? You got up, you brushed your hair, brushed your teeth, I hope. The person next to you hopes so as well. You washed your face, most of us. You showered, maybe. You got dressed. You drank tea, if you're me. Coffee, maybe, if you're you. You drove here, or you walked here, or you biked here, or you got here somehow. And when you got here, you thought, I made it. I made it. And I hope something good's going to happen, you think. And all the while, God was watching. And God was saying, that's it. Good job. Keep going. Take one more step. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Because we do nothing without him. Everything we do is in him, with him, for him, and through him. And he's the one who called us here today. Why did he call us? Because God is light. He wants us to gather in his presence for light because we need clarity. Clarity in our lives, clarity for how to live in our world. And how do we get it? By turning our faces towards God, towards the light of his countenance that he shines upon us when we answer his call to come and be with him. And that's what our psalm is about today. We're talking about psalms about the presence of God, songs about the presence of God this summer. And I was so glad when Brendan told me that our psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 84. Why? Because it's the pilgrimage psalm. Right in the middle of the psalm, it says, blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And that's what I do. By God's love to me, I take people on pilgrimage to places where God has worked in history so we can understand the mystery of his story and enter more into his glory. That's what pilgrimage is for. And so today, we're going to study that psalm. And God will show us more of himself and what it's like to live and walk and be with him. Every single day, God says to us, where are you? Like he said to Adam and Eve in the garden, where are you? I'm ready for you. And here we are. We are with him and we are ready. Gathered in the beautiful name that unites us. So right now, take a breath. Breathe in deeply. Make sure you know you're here. Breathe it in. And gather your senses and tell the Lord, I am ready. Can you say that out loud? I am ready. And God says, I'm ready too. So here we go. Let's look at God's message for us today. Psalm 84. We'll read it together on the screen. You read the bold print as we go through. And I'll start with the introduction, which did not end up on the screen that I put up there. So I want to tell you what it is. It says, "To the chief musician from the sons of Korah." It's important who something is to and who it's from. But especially for this one, who it's from. From the sons of Korah. Who were these guys that wrote this psalm? These were the sons of the man who rebelled against Moses in the wilderness. His name was Korah. And he made the mistake, he committed the sin of separating himself from the people of God, disappointing and putting his back to Moses, and offering up his own offerings, strange fire to God. And Korah had been destroyed, an example of what not to do. God loves his people to be united and to be humble. And you might have thought that his sons would then be failures, be losers, be lost, even though they were Levites. But no, here they are. And they're writing a beautiful, anointed psalm of worship and glory. All this is introduction. What does it tell us? It doesn't matter who our parent is. It doesn't matter what our history is or what our struggle is. We can come and we can offer our gift to God. The story can be turned around. And all these centuries later, we're still reading their psalm. So let's read it. I'll begin. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Amen. Psalm 84. Did you notice how the passage divides neatly into three parts? First, the psalmist is looking back with longing at God's lovely dwelling place where even the birds find nests and can rest, and God welcomes them. It's a place of belonging. And then it describes those walking on pilgrimage. This is the current life, and it can be hard, unyielding. They need strength, and their strength comes from the Lord. It's a place of believing. And then the third part of the psalm is full of exuberance. The place they've longed for really exists. It's better and higher than ever, and God shines on them in the ancient courts. It's their future. That is a time of blessing. And as I read those three parts, I thought, wow, they exactly match the beautiful name we've been singing about. When I first went to the Holy Land, I heard that name. We sang the name Jehovah earlier, and it's an expansion of the nameless name of God, Yahweh. And the name means is was, will. Wherever we look, there God is. All time is unified in God. And that's why, no matter what happens, we can say, like Julian of Norwich, all shall be well. All shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. St. Catherine of Siena put it this way: it's heaven all the way to heaven. And yet, that's not always our experience, is it? How many of you would put up your hand and say, this last week has been nothing but heaven? One of you, a couple of you, a few of you, beautiful. The rest of you did a road trip with kids, I think, or something like that, or had to get up and struggle to work, or whatever you had faced. So, how do we live into this psalm? What principles will help us? Because we want God all the way. We want the high view where the angels sing, and we want God on the way, where the rubber hits the road and the tires screech. So, let's read and learn. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul faints for the courts of God. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. The sparrow found a home. The swallow has a nest where they may have their young. By your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. It's a beautiful picture. And the psalmist is thinking about the good place where glory dwells and where the insignificant sparrow and the restless swallow find a place of belonging. And the insignificant person and the restless soul find freedom and focus to bless and to be a place of belonging. Now, we don't know if the sons of Korah, when they were thinking about this place, were thinking about the tabernacle, a tent in the wilderness where God made his dwelling with people. And this that you see on the screen is a replica tabernacle in the desert between Egypt and Israel. And it shows what it was like for God's people to enjoy his presence while they were wandering. See the clouds behind that would help to shade them? God was their shield like a cloud and their light like a sun. Maybe that's what the sons of Korah thought about, that place of quiet. Or maybe they were thinking about the Temple of Solomon instead. Now, this is a replica of Herod's temple in Jerusalem, much later than the Temple of Solomon, but built on the same mountain. This is a model that's in the Israel Museum. It was built on Mount Moriah. The temple was built where Abraham offered Isaac, and where God provided a substitute. Solomon built the first temple there, and later in the same place, Herod the Great built the temple where Jesus walked. Jesus walked there, and he was offered. And he was the Son, who was also the substitute. Whether it was the temple or the tabernacle that the sons of Korah were thinking about doesn't really matter. Because it's not the externals that counted. It was the beauty of God himself. The glory and the glow of belonging with him. So tell me, was there a time of wonder and glory in your world? When you felt the brightness of God's presence in a special way and where you felt welcome and whole? Look at the stones on this wall. The foundation of Temple Mount. And in your imagination, write words upon the stones, block by block, quickly, in your mind, to describe how wonderful that was. Where were you? What washed over you? What did you let go of? Can you write the word grace, freedom, deliverance, brightness, hope? It's beautiful to think of, isn't it? Never forget those times. As God was, so God is, and always will be. It's real, even when it feels far away. With God, there's no change. So what changes? Well, we change, and our circumstances change. Technology changes, seasons change. So much changes. Day to night, friendship to fear, worry to despair, relationships break, jobs are lost. We move, maybe we feel lost, we're in a new country, we cry to God. So let's read the next passage once more. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. So you read that and you might say, well, this is about a blessed person, but I don't always feel blessed. I feel crummy. And my world has crumbled. And I've lost so much time. And there was upheaval. And I've lost security. And I'm in grief. I'm in mourning. I'm angry and frustrated. And I don't feel blessed. If that's true, then you're real. And you belong here. It's not just you. And it's not just me. This is all around the world. Think over the past 12 hours. Any frustrations in your mind? Any hesitation? Or bad self-talk? Or hatred towards somebody else? Imperfect encounters? Almost certainly. Because we live in Baca. The word means tears. Billy Graham said, life at its best is full of sorrow. And he was a glorious and faithful preacher. Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. His face was marred, so we didn't see any beauty in it, says Isaiah. He was afflicted and despised and rejected. Have you felt any of that toward yourself? Toward others, despised, not enough, misunderstood, humiliated. That's the Valley of Baca. As we study the geography of the land, we're not sure if Baca was a real or metaphorical place on the pilgrimage route toward Jerusalem. Baca means tears, and it also means drought. And that is the now of the psalm. Tears in drought. You see, as pilgrims headed toward Jerusalem, they went through really hard times, and they suffered, and yet they were called blessed. Why? Because their strength was in the Lord, not in their reputation or in their circumstances. God who called them was with them. God was also there in the valley. When my mom died, there was a song that meant so much to our family. And it goes like this. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. People still go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And now this is what they see. Instead of the temple, there's the golden dome of Al-Aqsa Mosque. You can see the walls of Herod's temple surrounding it, but in between is a graveyard on the Mount of Olives. Now they can't pray at the temple, so they go to a foundation wall way below. It's called the Wailing Wall by some people, as generations cry out their hopes and prayers to God, both above and below. In the mosque or at the wall, there are tears and fears. And I joined there to bring my prayers. Nothing on earth is perfect. And so I wonder, is now a time to worry and for gloom? Political, environmental, international, local issues, from Sudan to Syria, from Iran to Venezuela, from wildfires to wild elections. Look at this wall. Put your prayers on it. Tell God, a block at a time, what's worrying you? In worrying times, we may fight, we may take flight, we may freeze, or we may fool around, filling our days with scrolling or shopping or conspiracies or celebrities. We get caught up in the noisy hiss of the snake, so that when God calls, we hardly hear him speak. And so God takes us to the desert. This desert is in Ein Gedi, where David hid from King Saul, who was out to kill him. It's full of caves. And in one cave, while David was hiding and walking through the desert, he came across Saul, and he could have killed him. And his men urged him to kill Saul, who was trying to kill him. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, says Scripture. He restrained himself. He was patient. He remembered his glorious anointing in the past. He remembered his fantastic call to be king one day, but he didn't grab for it. He stayed in the present. What are you waiting for? Was there a hint and a call that someday you might be something more? Were you going to be a leader or a teacher or a helper or a writer or a doctor or an artist? Were you going to serve in some special way? And now you're in a cave. What gives you strength? The Valley of Baca is characterized by three things: tears, trees, and testing. And it takes time. The word Baca means tears, it means drought, and it also means balm. Like a balm of healing that you rub onto your skin, an ointment. And that balm comes from terebinth trees. A terebinth tree is like the tree that Moses threw into the contaminated well, and the water became sweet. Terebinth trees possess extraordinary qualities. They survive in drought, and when the least water comes, they flourish. Sure enough, in the desert of En Gedi is a beautiful spring that helps terebinth trees grow. David came to this water, and we go there. And as you can see, we have fun. These are a couple of pilgrims splashing in the waterfall of En Gedi, maybe like David did way back. What do you do when you're in a dry desert patch? Here's the secret. Let your tears flow. Let them be multiplied into living water, just like the psalm says. Let grief be expressed. Let it run into pools. When you do, help may come. God understands tears. Are you in quiet misery today? Let someone come near you. I remember crying once in university because I lost something that I realized I would never get back again, a treasure. And as I wept on my bed, the lower bunk bed in the residence, my sister came into the room and another friend, and they stroked my hair as I bawled loudly. And they said comforting words that I don't even remember. But all I knew was I wasn't alone and it was going to be okay. If you're in a place like that, let someone come near. After church, we have people that will pray with you. That's what they're here for. You and they don't need to say much. You just need to know you're not alone. Let Baca be a place of blessing. The good thing about this psalm is they pass through the Valley of Baca. This is not a permanent abode. You don't get an address with a postal code here. This is part of pilgrimage. You remember the promise of God and his beauty. You look forward to what's ahead. God is, was, will. And then you take another step, and another step, and another step, and the valley will pass, and God of the mountain will be waiting for you. But all along, he's saying, good job, you did it, let's go, we can do this, because he is with you. Abraham was a friend of God, and Abraham also lived under a terebinth tree in the desert. Three visitors came by. Abraham welcomed them with a feast, even though his heart had an empty place. And at the end of the feast, when Abraham had said, "Come in, be part of my community," he found out this was God on the way. And they gave him a promise that in a year, the son he'd been waiting for would be born. Sarah laughed in the back room, but sure enough, the promise came true. Abraham was living in a tent, maybe like this Bedouin tent in Jordan, which is Abraham's country. And God fulfilled his word. Can you show hospitality to someone this week? Can you get involved with a church ministry this fall? Can you be neighborly? Can you let a stranger in, or can you be a stranger and go be friendly to somebody else? By welcoming the least of these, we are saved and our lives are transformed. Two small kids came to my door the other day this week. They rang the bell, so I go to the door, and I'm hearing giggling outside, and they're barefoot and curly hair, and what they had was a little gallon bucket, and in it was a cucumber, a big cucumber, a small cucumber, and about five tiny cherry tomatoes. And so then they said, "Would you like to buy some vegetables for a dollar?" So I said, "I definitely would." And so they said, "What would you like?" So I said, "I'll have a cucumber. The big one or the little one?" they asked. "The big one," I said. "Would you like some cherry tomatoes too?" they asked me. I was like, "No, thanks. I'll just take the cucumber." And so they were standing there jumping from one foot to the other on the step while I went inside to get, fortunately, I had some change in the house because that doesn't always happen. But I found a toonie and I came to the door and I said, "Here's $2 because it's such a big cucumber." And they were so thrilled. And as they skipped off down the road, I said, "Where are you guys growing your veggies?" And they said, "At our grandma's house just down here." Well, what a good grandma that was. She blessed me and she made my day through those kids. So let strangers in. Even if you don't need what they have to give, receive it and give back. And that's how love grows. The desert gets greener. What makes the difference? Faith. Friends. Friends may be unlikely strangers. They may be neighbors or colleagues. They may be the presence of God. So instead of worry and gloom these days, could it be a time to wait and grow? What does your heart say? Jesus calls us friends, and he invites us under a sycamore tree like this one to hear his word, to be healed as we gather in his name, to gather in the church and be blessed. So keep it up. At the beginning and at the end of this psalm, we see God's beautiful dwelling. And in the middle, there's pilgrim movement. That's what makes a pilgrimage, going from one place to the other to find the Lord. Be encouraged. God says you go from strength to strength. You're stronger than you think. The Dominicans teach that there are four passages to life, and I'll go over them really fast. Via positiva, which is a road of awe and wonder. Via negativa, which is a road of silence and suffering and loss. Via creativa, when you've lost everything, there's room to create and to birth something new. And via transformativa, which is God's divine presence in your creativity, so that it is a thing of healing, not hatred, so that you make balm, not a bomb. So walk in the Spirit, and every stage will be a strength. Prayer becomes praise. And so we reach the end of our psalm. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And here our eyes are not downcast. We're not hunting or hurting. We found the one that our soul longs for. And we look to God, and we ask God to look at us. We're like a kid saying, look at me, when they dive into the pool, or when they climb the ladder, or when they bang out a tune on the piano. Look at me, Lord. Look with favor at me. I made it. And God does, and he blesses us. And we say, wow, it's great to be here. God, your way is higher, even when it's harder. And the Lord shines blessing and honor. The Lord shields us from harm. No good thing is withheld from those who walk with him. But wait a minute. You might feel sorrowful at that, because you might ask, well, what am I doing wrong, Lord? There are good things that are missing from my life. A partner, a project, help when I need it, financial assistance, a break, a home, health. Why are you withholding those things from me? Am I a bad person after all? Johnny Erickson, who's been in a wheelchair for decades after a diving accident when she was a teenager, and now has a worldwide ministry, she said, I thought I would be healed. I believed I would walk again. The Lord would give me this good thing. Walking is good. A miracle would be great. I was sure of it. But through the years, the Lord showed me the really good thing is courage and confidence and community and humility and a voice for the suffering, brokenness transformed into beauty. And I learned there's more than walking. There's dwelling in God's presence forever. And is that what we want? The whole psalm is geared to point our eyes to the beautiful one. And so we say, God, be my everything. Heal me, comfort me, inspire me, support me. You are my destiny. You are my direction. You are my desire. And if that's true, is now a time to worship and be glad? God is faithful. He never changes. One of the great moments of the Olympics for me was seeing Celine Dion, who had been frozen with stiff person syndrome, raise her head, raise her voice, and sing again. God brings us through, and he can do it for you. Look at this wall. On it, imagine the character of God. Write words of consolation, words of fact and faith. Write who God is. And then say, I am in God, and God is in me. And all of those wonderful things are present here and now. And God says, well done, pilgrim. We've taken another step. I'm with you all the way, at the beginning and at the end and on the way. God on the way every day. So as we come to the end of our time of listening to the Word of God, if you would like prayer, if you felt frustrated or alone, or if you want to share a promise that God gave you long ago and you want to witness to it, to your faith, why don't you go and pray with someone? Because they're waiting to hear and to speak with you to the Father whose face shines on you. If you want to plant a tree of faith or take a branch of healing, then as we come to sing, go to where praying friends will meet you. Let autumn pools fill with water, even if it starts with tears. It's August. It's about time. Autumn's around the corner. Maybe it's the next generation you're worried about. Maybe you think, did I blow it? Was I too hard? Was I too soft? Was I too strict? Was I not enough? What's going to happen to them all? Think back. Who wrote this psalm? the sons of Korah, whose parent failed. They went forward. God is with you, and God is with the next generation. God is, God was, God will be. Be glad in his beautiful name. Let's join together in prayer. God of our breath, God of our being, Yahweh, holy is your name. You are the one who is, who was, and who will be, whose name we breathe in and out. Yahweh, Yahweh. You are our shield, you are our defender. Lighten our way, be our defense, be our deliverer, be our desire. Strengthen our hearts and set us on pilgrimage. Keep us moving and help us to see you go with us. We pray all these things in the name of Christ, the living water, in a parched world who splashes us with delight. Amen.